in complete dependence upon our Lord to help us to open and bless his own word to us. I'd ask your prayer for attention by way of text to the chapter we read, Luke chapter 8, and in particular verse 46. Luke chapter 8, verse 46. And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Particularly that phrase, "somebody hath touched me." Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Whilst the Lord Jesus was here upon this earth, he healed a multitude of people. Not all in the same way. Some, we are told in detail how they were healed. Some, it is more just a general word. Like when a multitude came unto him. And we read that the power of the Lord was present to heal them all. And he healed the multitude of their sicknesses. We do not know how many were in those multitudes. But dear friends, it tells us of the compassion and mercy and love of the Lord Jesus Christ to the poor and the needy ones. They were in need, they were in trouble. And dear friends, no doubt in great discomfort. And there were those who had devils, evil spirits. Nothing was too hard for Jesus. Oh, dear friends, how these healing miracles testify that he was God, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, of the Godhead, of the Father, and of the Word, and of the Holy Ghost, the Word made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Dear friends, how solemn that so many did not receive him. They did not believe him, oh, for the work's sake, which he said to them, "Believe me for the very work's sake." Oh, dear friends, the natural hardness of our hearts. You know, we're no different in nature to those we read of in the scriptures. Those who were plagued, well, I won't say plagued, those who were determined in their unbelief. Dear friends, but for the grace of God we go, don't we? You see, there's no question, is there, that sickness is linked to sin. When God created the heavens and the earth, then all was perfect, all was pure. God breathed into Adam and Eve. Well, into Adam a living soul, and Eve from Adam was also a living soul. But when they sinned and disobeyed the word of God, the judgment of God came upon them. And dear friends, death came on account of sin. And dear friends, death of our bodies, for the most part, is through sicknesses, illnesses, diseases. Dear friends, it will do us good that whenever we are sick, have disease or pain or whatever afflicts us, it's good to think on why it is we are sinners. We're under the curse of God. And our sicknesses one day will bring us to die. Or when we have light sicknesses, dear friends, they are evidences, they are indications, oh, that we are sinners before a holy God. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Dear friends, it's good if the Lord works such that we come to know this sacred truth, this solemn truth. That day by day we are sinners. It's only through the mercy of God we are not consumed. Because his compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning, great is his faithfulness. Oh, his compassions he showed to the people. In Galilee, in these accounts which we read in the Gospels. There was no demand of them, of any cost, any payment. He didn't bring them before him first to see if they were worthy of his healing. Dear friends, they came because there was nothing anybody could do for them. They came because they could not heal themselves. They came because mankind around them, no matter what was their skills, could not heal them. They were in a helpless, hopeless case. Except for Jesus. Oh, dear friends, it's a great mercy, you know, if we are taught the same truth. Yes, our sicknesses, so related and founded upon our sins, that we are sinners before a holy God. We've read here the case of this woman. For 12 years she had been bleeding, and no way could anything be found to prevent it. We read in another gospel that she spent all that she had upon the physicians, but she was not healed. But rather grew worse. Oh dear friends, we find such things, don't we, with us today spiritually. You see, we cannot come unto Jesus like these did in the Gospels, physically, to see and to touch. But dear friends, we come today by faith, looking unto Jesus, seeking to find him and to speak to us and we to him. Is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever? His power is still the same today as it was in the days of the Gospels when Christ was upon this earth. But he is sovereign. He came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Dear friends, the Lord will use means to quicken his people's souls, to bring them to repentance, to cause them to look unto him, to cause them to desire no other one save Jesus and his power. It was the case here with this woman, wasn't it? How old she was, we are not told. But 12 years was a long time to have this issue of blood. She must have been very weakened by it. And now all she could do was give up hope. For the physicians could do nothing for her. Dear friends, in this troubled state, something came to pass which wasn't by chance. She heard of Jesus. And she did not just hear of Jesus in a casual way, as to say, oh, have you heard of that man who performs these miracles and it's of interest to the mind? As she heard of Jesus, dear friends, the testimony that she heard entered into her heart by faith, the gift of God. This wasn't her own intellect. Her own intellect would say, oh, there's no hope for me. Oh, yes, there's another man there we hear of who's done things, but how can he do more than what the physicians I've paid for have done for me? There's no hope. All I can do is continue as I am and eventually die. Oh, dear friends, so many things we can lean to our own understanding, can't we? We read here Jairus when they told him, your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master? Trouble him no more. It's too late, it's too hard a case. Jesus said, fear not, only believe. Only believe. Oh, dear friends, the importance of this believing faith. It is the gift of God. And dear friends, we have to be so thankful, because it's all of the Lord's mercy to our soul when we are given this grace of faith to know that Jesus, the Son of God, can and will do all things for us and cleanse our souls, heal our souls from all the sickness of sin, that we may enter into heaven above. This woman, she was given hope. Once, as often said, I wonder how she heard. Well, dear friends, we're not told how she heard. But we do read in a couple of chapters back in Luke's Gospel that at that time, before they brought a man who was sick of the palsy unto Jesus, after they brought the man sick of a palsy unto Jesus, in chapter 6, verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Oh, what a testimony that was of what had taken place. The whole multitude sought to touch Jesus, for there went virtue. That word virtue there in Greek means power. Went out of him and healed them all. This woman lived in the same area, in the same vicinity. She now became a seeking woman to find Jesus. This was her object. Oh, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, if I may but touch, I shall be made whole. So, dear friends, this gift of faith, to believe what she'd heard was in Jesus, was in the strength of faith to do that which was needful, to get unto Jesus. No, faith doesn't just not sit back and hope and wait. Or when there's a great case, when there's a great need, or this the object of one's first desire to be with Jesus, to know his power, to know his love, to know his mercy. Dear friends, that's how we know it is the work of God, through that desire and that power which is given to us. And as it is with the safe state of our soul, object of our first desire, Jesus, crucified for me. There, friends, is the power to heal all the sicknesses, the multitude of sinners. His death, the shedding of his blood at Calvary, the pouring out of his soul unto death. Oh, dear friends, what a sacrifice. What sufferings. What grace. Dear friends, that love we read of in the scriptures, that love is commended towards us, says Paul. That whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And dear friends, it's only when we come to know what it is to be a sinner that we shall value words like that, truths like that, promises like that. Oh, this woman knew she was sick. She had this problem, this trouble now for 12 years. And there was no respite. You know, dear friends, it can be like that, can't it, spiritually? We can be seeking for the forgiveness of our sins for many years. Can try all sorts of remedies, seeking to walk more uprightly in accordance with the Word, and to pray more often, to read the Bible more often, and so on and so forth. We find we only rather grow worse. All our time spent in those things. Dear friends, there's nothing to touch the sin-sick soul. Because there's no faith. The gift of God. That faith which testifies of Jesus, of his grace, that draws us humbly. Oh, nothing in our hand we bring, to simply to his cross we cling. Dear friends, that's the working of faith under the gift of God. Draws us unto Christ. There's only one way, singleness of eye. So this woman in her sickness, oh, what a type she is, isn't she? A type she is of a sin-sick soul. Sickness in her body. And then she came to find where Jesus was. Well, it appears Jesus wasn't there. Jesus was over the other side of the sea, dealing with this legion. There were crowds waiting for his return. No doubt he was amongst them, like Jairus. When Jesus came, oh, we read how they were all waiting for him. And first of all, Jairus fell down at Jesus' feet. Oh, his daughter was dying. Come and heal her. Now this man, Jairus, he was the ruler of the synagogue. One who would naturally have nothing to do with Jesus. Why, probably amongst those in the synagogue who took counsel how they might get rid of Jesus when he healed on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. But dear friends, in his great need, which the Lord brought him into, nothing happens by chance. He was being delivered from the hardness of unbelief and the hardness of his heart. to be drawn to know the sacred truth and power of Jesus Christ. Only believe, all things are possible to them that believe, to believe in Jesus. Oh, that faith was exercised, wasn't it? But let's come back to the woman. She was one of the reasons why Jesus was not making a great haste towards Jairus' house. There was a crowd about him, but she pressed through that crowd. She didn't say, "Well, I'll come another day when it's going to be easier." She was also fearful. She did not want to be known. Oh, she just wanted this healing so that she'd then go quietly away and continue on then in life, a life which she hadn't known for at least 12 years. And then she would be satisfied. So she came quietly, but in faith, stooping down. Oh, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was made whole. Jesus says, "Somebody hath touched me." Oh, the disciples, they said, "Why? Crowds are about you. People are all here. Why do you say somebody has touched me?" Jesus meant, "Somebody hath touched me," in faith. Yes, many people were physically touching him. Many were people were going with him. Many were following him. But there was one who touched Jesus in faith. And dear friends, there was two effects of that, wasn't there? She received, or should I say first, power went out of Christ for the healing of this woman. And this woman knew the healing touch within her, that her blood was stained. She was not a stranger to Jesus. Oh, she was one to whom he had been sent to bring into the knowledge of his great goodness and mercy and grace. And it was by the way that she was drawn to him as the only one above all the physicians who could heal her. And believing by faith, she touched the hem of his garment. Somebody hath touched me. For I perceive that virtue, power, is gone out of me. If nothing happens unknown to the Lord, and nothing happens unknown to his people when the Lord grants his blessing in the consequence of their exercise of faith, there's no doubt. There's not, "Well, I think so. Well, I hope so." Dear friends, it was a sure work. This woman knew that her blood was stanched. She knew that she was healed. Somebody hath touched me. Dear friends, do you know that touching? The power of the Lord within you to soften your heart, to remove the burden of that sin. Oh, dear friends, what a power it is of the Lord to change your heart, to bring you and keep you humbly. Oh, that your pardon is sealed and you have peace with God. You've come to him in all your sickness, with all your sins, seeking, as we might say, yes, in prayer, the throne of grace, the footstool of his mercy. And your cry in faith, oh, dear friends, has been received by him. He's heard you. He knew who you were. He turned himself about. "Who touched me?" She couldn't be hid. No, it wasn't something to be done silently and secretly. Dear friends, what the Lord does in his work is to be declared. She came and declared before all the people the cause that she had touched him. And how he was healed, how she was healed immediately. The testimony of the power, the goodness, the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. supplied her need, the only one who could. Somebody hath touched me. Oh, dear friends, we need to touch the Lord, don't we, by faith? Dear friends, where there's a fullness of a touch by faith, there's no doubts and fears. And that's how we're hindered so much, isn't it? This woman came without doubts and fears. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she was. If we may but come all to the throne of grace, to the footstool of the Lord's mercy, pleading that name of Jesus, confessing our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, makes us whole. The cleansing of our soul through his shed blood. Though this touching of his garment, you might say, is the most extreme part of the Lord Jesus. She didn't embrace him or touch his head or any grip or hold upon him. She touched the hem of his garment. And that was sufficient. You know, dear friends, this hem of Christ's garment was that garment which when on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus went there and was transfigured before his disciples. And Elijah and Moses speaking to him. And his face shone as the sun. And his garments became whiter than snow, as white as snow. Nothing on earth could whiten it. Therefore there was his power, the Son of God, the Son of righteousness, as we might say, rising with healing in his wings, but first of all his death, his sufferings, to bring about that blotting out of all transgressions, that perfect robe which he would give to others, the robe of his righteousness. Oh, that Mount of Transfiguration, testifying of the righteousness which Jesus would bring to pass through his sufferings on Calvary's cross. The things that would come through his death, through his decease. Oh, dear friends, that's where we need to come, isn't it? To touch. In our prayerful desires, the pouring out of our heart before him, in faith, believing. Oh, that we can cry, the Lord, our righteousness. If I may but touch, if I may but just, for a moment, as it were, be in contact with that righteousness, I shall be healed, I shall be made whole. There's no great grandeur in that, is there? But, dear friends, there's the eternal blessing in it. There's eternal life in it. It was only for a moment this woman touched. But she was healed immediately. You know, dear friends, when we're drawn by that exercise of faith, a gift of God, drawn to the feet of Jesus, oh, to touch, as it were, by faith, the truth of his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, the putting away of sin, the payment of the price for it. Oh, when we're brought there and have a sweet glimpse, as it were, by faith, of what Christ has done, and to perceive it, receive it in ourselves, then, friends, we've touched him. Somebody hath touched me, yes. That sinner, drawn by faith. And Jesus says, "All, no man cometh unto me except the Father draw him. And they that come unto me I will in no wise cast out." Although we receive that virtue, that power, that blessing, that pardoning love, that which now fills their heart and soul with love to Christ. All things are passed away, all things now have become new. They're one with Jesus. They've been made whole. And oh, what manner of love the Father doth bestow upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Somebody hath touched me. Oh, dear friends, is it one of you? You know that time, that moment in your life when Jesus was made extremely precious to you. And dear friends, that sweetness of his love, mercy, filled your heart. Jesus said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Oh, she thought she could be hid. She thought she could go on her way now, having received the blessing, and oh, it would, no need for anyone else to know about it, and so on and so forth. But Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And she looked around about to see who it was, and she came trembling. And before all the people, she told what cause she had touched, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Oh, dear friend, what a testimony that must have been. There was nobody else with a testimony like that, was there? But it declared, oh, to the glory and honour of God. It wasn't to her own glory. No, her glory was that she'd been healed through the glory of Christ. That was her rejoicing. But what she testified was for the glory of God and of Christ. Oh, dear friends, we need these testimonies, don't we? Somebody hath touched me. I think it's in Mark's Gospel. She came before her Christ and the people and told him all the truth. All the truth. All what had taken place. How she'd been sick unto death, as it were. But how she'd heard of Jesus. Now by faith she'd persevered. She'd come, she'd drawn near. And she touched. And touching by faith, she'd found that healing virtue. So, dear friends, it is with a sinner. Dead in trespasses and in sins, fearing, oh, that hell is their destined place. They hear of Jesus. Well, they may hear of Jesus many times, long times, a multitude of times. But there comes that time when faith is given to attend the word. Faith is mixed with those that hear it. And it has that effect upon the heart, upon the soul. It's no object of one's first desire, Jesus crucified for me. And they hasten the best they can. Or they have to press through a crowd of obstacles. We still have to go about our daily work, our daily business, the duties, responsibilities. Oh, there's many hindrances. But dear friends, the object of one's first desire is still to get to the footstool of that mercy. And dear friends, by faith, oh, that time does come. The Lord knows how to bring you there. Humbly to his feet. And to touch by faith the truth as it is in Jesus and receive the blessing of your soul. Oh, what a testimony. The Lord hath been mindful of me, whereof I am glad. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, dear friends, may each of us, I pray, each of us, may have a testimony. They all won't be the same. They won't be perhaps like this woman. The man with the issue of the man who was full of leprosy. Oh, dear friends, he had a different experience. But he was drawn by faith to look to Jesus and say, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt." The sovereignty of God. He couldn't demand anything of the Lord. But that was all what he needed. And by faith he knew the Lord could give it. Oh, dear friends, we have many, many, many testimonies, don't we? In the scriptures, they're not all the same. I think they're perhaps all different. But the commonality, dear friends, is this. The gift of faith. Drawn to Jesus. Confess our sins. And receive the blessing. Oh, may that be amongst us here at Hope Chapel Stortford. May it be with all our loved ones. All those we bear before the Lord. To know in this evil day, when there's so much to hide the truth, isn't there, from us? Especially the children and young people growing up. That there be many, of whom it is said, by Jesus somebody hath touched me. Drawn unto him, by faith, to receive the blessing. Also may the Lord be the healer of our souls. Give us the truth as it is in Jesus. Eternal life in heaven above. Amen.